Today's edition of the Between the Ropes podcast is brought to you by Suplex Apparel. Suplex Apparel is quality, good-looking, comfortable wrestling clothing and apparel. No more being embarrassed by wearing wrestling shirts or gear. Suplex Apparel has great-looking items that you can wear in public and be proud of. That's why they have a great team of top athletes in the wrestling world supporting it, including Zack Sabre Jr., Adam Cole, Prince Devitt, Kyle O'Reilly, Angelico, Gail Kim, and Dave Mastiff. Go online now at suplexapparel.com and check out the store with brand new apparel for the fall season, now available for both men and women. That includes comfortable flannel shirts, hoodies, an assortment of Suplex t-shirts, as well as others like the new Prince Devitt Black Dove shirt, the Zack Sabre Jr. Old English shirt, the Adam Cole Ruling the Industry t-shirt, as well as Angelico gloves and brand new rucksacks as well. Suplex Apparel ships anywhere in the world. Go to suplexapparel.com, check out the store, and get some great-looking, comfortable wrestling apparel. That's suplexapparel.com. Create your legacy.
Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody, this is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman here. Appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast, for downloading it wherever you want to get it. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, all the different places that you can download and listen to the podcast. Man, there's a ton of stuff going on in the wrestling world right now, whether it's TNA, streaming services, WWE, Hell in a Cell, Vince McMahon speaking today about the WWE Network. Tons of stuff going on, but I think we need a drink to get through this, Michael.
A
drink would probably help everybody out because there's so much stuff that we have to get to and so much stuff that we personally have to get through when it comes to this podcast this week.
I just don't know if it's safe because I had to have so many drinks this week to make it through Raw that maybe we're a little bit in the, what is it? On the wagon, off the wagon, one of those two.
On the wagon.
All right. This week, I'm going to the old standby.
Yeah.
The beer of choice for the Wisemanator. That's what people call me, the Wisemanator. Mm. The beer of choice for the Wisemanator. That's right. New Belgium's own Fat Tire. In a can. Yes, you are exactly right. Here we go.
Pop that bad boy. Yeah.
That's right. There we go.
What
are you drinking, Fritzy? What are you drinking? What did you bring to the table?
I don't have anything to drink, and I wish I did. I'm parched.
I tell you what. I'm sure you were wanting to drink the other night when your cubbies were down about a million to nothing. They blew two, three on bases and all that.
Thanks for reminding me. I appreciate that. You know, and you know what? There might be something for me to drink when I go to Chicago this weekend.
Nice. Okay. So tell me about the Chicago trip. You're going down there, so but not going to the game.
I'm not going to the game because I do not have $3,000 to buy one ticket to one game. Which is the cheapest price on StubHub right now is around $3,000. But I've always said I wanted to be at least around the ballpark if there was a chance for them to win the World Series.
Okay.
And now the series is tied at a game apiece. The next three games will be in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And a potential, game or a series clinching game five is Sunday night. So okay. I am going to Chicago on Sunday. I'm going, okay? And
nice.
If there was a game six, which would be in Cleveland, but a lot of people would still be hanging around Wrigleyville, which is the area around Wrigley Field, I would still be in town because I'm hanging out for a few days.
Chicago's like one of your favorite cities, though.
I love Chicago. I'm from Illinois. I'm not from Chicago, but I'm from an area south of there. So, yeah, I love going to Chicago. I love hanging out there. And, you know, to be there if the Cubs win the World Series would be unbelievable. If they won it Sunday night, that would be a dream come true because I would be right there. If they won it, even if they won it on Tuesday and I would still be in Wrigleyville, that would be awesome. If I was back at home and it took seven games and they still won it, I would still be as happy as could be, as long as they win it. But if I was actually in Chicago when they won the World Series, that would be awesome.
And I am going to be a part of the sea of humanity that will be hanging out in Wrigleyville on for a couple of days in Chicago.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. There's that's a pretty cool little city. We went there earlier this year. That's a fun place to be.
I'm going to be starting a GoFundMe to help pay for this trip.
You're going to get a ticket? You need a GoFundMe to see if somebody will pay for you to achieve your life dream and get a ticket to the game Sunday night.
Oh, my God. I would love to be in the ballpark, but at least I get to be around there. So that's going to have to be good enough. And I can take that because I can watch the game. I'll be out in the street. There'll be a lot of people. I know some other people that are going to be doing the same thing. So I won't be alone. You know, I'll know some other people. I mean, you know, at this point, quite honestly, everybody's a friend. Like when the Cubs won and went to the World Series the other night, there is a bar right around the corner from my house. I could almost walk there. I mean, I could definitely walk there, but I wanted to get there quicker. It's like a 2-minute car ride. It's called Friendly Confines. It is a Cubs bar, okay, here in Orlando. And I was going to go there in the ninth inning when the Cubs were winning that game handily, you know, against the Dodgers to make it to the World Series. And I was like, don't go. You're going to jinx it. Just wait. And then the Cubs won, and I waited about 10 minutes, and I said, that's it. Yeah, I know I'm not a big drinker, but I gotta be around some Cubs fans right now, and I need a drink. I got to get a drink. So I jumped in the car. I went over, went right to the bar, got a drink, and there was a bunch of Cubs fans, and, like, everybody's just like, hey, and everybody starts high-fiving and putting their arm around awesome. You, like, what's going on, buddy? Like, I don't know these people from anything, you know? And
it's like, but your family, right? Cubs fans absolutely. Are all family.
And everybody's got a story about, oh, I remember when I started watching when I was, you know, however old, and my grandfather watched, or my family has this tie, or whatever, you know. And so it was, you know, we're all just good friends. We're all family at that point, like you said. So yeah,
it's history, man. I mean, this is a big deal for sports. I don't watch baseball, but I started checking in to see the Cubs. They're kind of like the team that I would pull for, I guess, if I watched baseball. It's history. Them making the World Series and potentially winning it. This is a moment. So Cleveland.
Well, the weird thing is with Cleveland is that if you take the Cubs out of the equation, because it's been 108 years since they won the World Series, the second longest streak of not winning the World Series in baseball is the Cleveland Indians.
Right. Well, and Cleveland was the city right earlier this year that had never won a world title, that their fans deserved it until LeBron James brought it home. So
exactly.
Interesting dynamic.
I know. It's funny because, you know, Cleveland went from the stigma of, you know, never winning anything to, you know, they were down 3-1 against the Warriors, like you said, with the Cavaliers. They came back and they won that series. And then now the Indians are in the World Series. And they've been to the World Series. The last time they went was like 97, something like that.
Yeah.
So they've been, but they've got a really good team. I think my team's a little bit better, and I'm going to root really, really hard for my team, man. I want that World Series championship. My wife knows. It's like DEFCON around the house right now. Like I had to do a little bit of work outside the house last night at the radio station. So I was watching the game there, and I was listening to the Cubs broadcast in the car. And like when I got home, she knew. Like the second I walked in the door, she changed the channel to the Cubs game.
And you have her conditioned.
I do. I even warned her. Like she was even joking earlier in the day, like, hey, are we gonna watch a show tonight? And I go, you know the Cubs game is on. And she was just like, oh yeah. And I'm like, You know this. I have told you. I have tried to sit you down and teach you about the ways here. So yeah. I don't know if she was screwing with me or not, but she just knows that like it's very high alert around here right now. Very, very high alert. So
well, let's get to the real stuff. The Walking Dead this week season premiere came back on. Cheap pops, right? Let's make this happen.
Oh my God! Can we get the spoilers on this?
I don't know if we're allowed.
Well,
to.
Well, here's the thing, though. Okay, so here's the argument for a spoiler for giving a spoiler on this. Okay, It's not a movie that you have to pay to go see. It's on TV where almost everybody has AMC that could watch it. You know that 17 million people watch The Walking Dead, which was even more than Sunday Night Football.
Wow. Okay?
It's the biggest audience they've ever had. And on top of that, it's probably been circulated so much on social media. And there's also people that read the Walking Dead comic book. So it's out there.
Well, okay.
It's just, do we want to say it?
Sure. Sure.
I'll let you say it so people can hate you.
Well, okay, let's before we get into saying that, I don't want to spend too much time because I know our fans are here for pro wrestling and we have plenty to talk about.
This was a cultural event, though.
I disagree with the decision to hold the kill over until this season because I think it was a cheap tactic for a show that didn't need it, and it was piss poor storytelling.
Whoa! See, I thought it was brilliant the way that they did this cliffhanger, and there were some people that knew what was going to happen or believed they knew what was going to happen because it followed pretty closely to the comic. At least in one case, it followed like to a T. The other one, it did not, but it was somebody that died very near the same timeline in the comic. And I thought it was great because it got people talking about it. There was a big buzz. They got a big audience. And even the way that they did it during the show, I liked because it wasn't like they came right out of the gate and they gave it away. You had to wait 20, 25 minutes for it.
It was gimmicky, man. It was a gimmick. It was a gimmick to make sure people came back to watch it. Whatever. Okay,
Michael, I only have three words for you when it comes to that.
Uh-huh.
I'll find you.
Well, I love there's a meme going around on the internet of the guy from Goonies, the big guy.
Sloth?
Yeah, yeah. And he's got a picture of him and it says, I will find you.
Well, they did talk the same way, but what was it?
And they looked the same, too, with that eyeball popping out. Oh, Lord. Okay. Oh, man, it was good.
That was okay. We won't give the names then. Okay,
wrestling,
fine.
But it was
that. I will say this, man. I probably have watched that scene probably about 8 times now.
That was brutal. My Lord, one of the most brutal things
on
TV.
The whole thing, even when it comes to the acting by Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing Negan.
Who's fantastic.
He's unbelievable, man.
Fantastic.
And just the way that they set that up, how evil and mean and what a bastard he really is, and just the way that they set everything up to where you thought, oh, okay, they just... one person died, and then next thing you know, it's like, oh, there goes somebody else.
Oh, there's part of a spoiler. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I gave spoiler away alert. That. I didn't tell you who
spoiler
died.
Spoiler alert. Everybody dies. That's the spoiler.
Yeah, well, probably, man. My God. The way that show's going, man, it's funny because I know of a few people that say, well, I don't like watching that show because it's all death and despair. There's nothing happy that happens.
Uh-huh.
But
torture, yep.
You know what? I just like the way that show goes, man. I think they do a really good job with it. The acting is fantastic. There's not a lot of happy moments on that show. Sometimes there are, but you know what? It's become like a wartime movie and a revenge plot.
Yep. That show has had its ups and downs over the years. I like it. I still enjoy it. I think there have been some times where it's been dreadfully boring, especially to be a show about zombies where they wandered around trying to find Terminus for about 5 years.
It's picked up the last couple of years, I think.
I still think I go back. That season with the governor was something pretty special, and I really dug it. But I think, you know, I think we're getting some momentum back. It was pretty good last year. I like the whole Alexandria stuff. I like the big... I think this show needs a big bad like Negan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on board with it. I want to see where it goes. I just think that was a cheap tactic to say, look, come back next season so we can reveal
who
actually
dies. That's a cliffhanger, man. That's what you should do. That is great.
So great.
God. You're a buzzkill is what you are, man.
I'm not a buzzkill. I'm the one drinking a beer. How can I be the buzzkill?
You're a buzzkill, man. Just like Raw is on Monday night now.
Speaking of buzzkills, Lord.
Raw has been an interesting bag as of late.
You use the word interesting very liberally. I find very little about these shows interesting.
I did use it very interesting. It's... You know, we're back in that whole, you know, 3 hours is always going to be tough to kill kind of mode. But on top of that, it's they're trying to do what they can to serve a couple of demons here. They're trying to set up, you know, they're trying to put on 3 hours. They're trying to sell a pay-per-view, and they are trying to sell a second pay-per-view. Like, they're trying to promote Hell in a Cell coming up on Sunday, but they're also trying to promote Survivor Series, which is still a few weeks away. There's only so many times that Truth and Gold Dust can come out there with the bouncing head and you sing along, okay?
Oh, man. It's like they're setting them up for their own Saturday morning cartoon show. I don't know what they think is going to come of this, but the fans just don't care about Truth and Gold Dust and their little sing-along songs or whatever.
Like, Enzo and Big Cass are still very entertaining, but I still think there's something in the less is more formula, and I don't want to burn them out.
Right.
And, you know, what we got out of them is fine. I mean, even with Jericho right now, I think Jericho has been great with the list and everything.
Yes.
This week kind of felt like a stretch in that, oh, my God, this list thing is becoming so big, and it's one of those things where things are clicking, and then they're like, all right, let's do more.
We've got to make it a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what happened with the New Day. You know, it's the same thing where it's then you start driving into the ground and it doesn't mean as much and people don't care about it as much.
I think the problem is the 3 hours, and the problem is just a lack of focused storytelling. You mentioned Jericho. The list thing has kind of caught on to be its own thing, which I've enjoyed. Jericho and Kevin Owens have been the highlight of Monday Night Raw for many weeks. And Seth Rollins, while somewhat underutilized in this new babyface role, like, he's just not quite clicked. I think he came back hot, but he's not clicked in this position on the card yet. That's the thing that's going for it. And of course, Sasha Banks and Charlotte, I think that's been solid as well. But that's really 30% of the show. The other 70%, I just find myself fast forwarding, being bored. Even this Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman stuff, I know we'll get to in a minute, but the shows just aren't coming together. The cruiserweight division is dead on arrival. I'm sorry, it's happening. This feud for the title is just TJ Perkins. It's just not, I'm not buying it.
That's a weird way that they did the setup, and that Brian Kendrick is saying, well, I need this from this, my last chance. So you need to let me win.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know about that, man. I mean, let's just go with the traditional stuff of, hey man, I know this might be my last chance, but I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to scrap and claw. I'm going to do whatever's necessary, you know, and that's fine. Let him cheat. Let him do dirty stuff. I mean, I'm all fine with that. It's funny because I think in like the case of Rich Swann, okay, I think Rich is starting to get over. But, I mean, when it comes to that main audience, but is it more because he's very charismatic when it comes to the ring and his music is really cool?
Yep.
Or are they really clicking with his match? Because, like, and I think Rich is a great talent, but it's like people still don't know who he is. They haven't, you know, we haven't seen him on TV too much when it comes to Raw. So when he's out there, people still don't know exactly how to react, and still just the way that they position the entire cruiserweight division. So he comes out, people are getting into it and everything, but then when the match goes on, it dies down, and it's been tough to get people back, whether it's been him or even some of the other guys. I mean, I think TJ and Brian Kendrick have done the best, but they've also been put in the best position, and they should be, considering that's for the cruiserweight championship. But now they've added this whole wrinkle to the, you know, to that match that they're going to do. And I guess we got to see where they go with it, but it just seems like it's something weird, and they really haven't capitalized on probably the spirit of the cruiserweight division.
It's like a missed opportunity here, because this storyline should sell itself, right? Brian Kendrick, TJ Perkins, mentor, mentee, the guy that helped him get his break. This is classic wrestling booking, and they've muddled it up so much with these kind of awkward backstage segments, including Monday night, where Brian Kendrick was like, you know what, just let me win. I need it for my family. Instead of being a heel, he comes across as desperate in this needy, unforgiving way. And TJ Perkins, I don't know, he's just not clicked with me. His music is awesome. He's a great in-ring performer. I think his promos lack a little bit of charisma or personality, and I think he needs to work on that. So this dynamic has just not been – I don't like TJ Perkins as a character that much. So when Brian Kendrick is saying, let me win, and he seems pathetic, I don't care about either one of these guys. Whereas this could have been a great setup for like that masterful heel role that Brian Kendrick could really play, that manipulative guy paired up with TJ Perkins, who is like the young gun. I think they've missed the mark on the storytelling. And I think as a result, the cruiserweight division itself just lacks any kind of identity to really propel it forward. You mentioned Rich Swann, and I think the music is a big kick up for that. But just putting matches out there without highlighting the talent and the appropriate storylines in the appropriate ways is not going to do much. And I think you can see the comparison here with somebody like James Ellsworth. We talk about getting talent over. God, nobody is more over than James Ellsworth right now in the entire company. I mean, people are saying, yeah, his shirts are selling more than Roman Reigns or whatever people are on the internet are complaining about. There is a difference in the way they position James Ellsworth, though, and the cruiserweights have just become really killer, time killer, you know, just fodder for Raw.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have been, you know. And you know, I go back to the Jericho thing in that he's found something that's really clicked. But I just wonder, are they doing too much and kind of overexposing it? They're on that line right now. But then you mentioned the thing with, you know, Seth Rollins. When Seth came back from his injury, I think a lot of people thought, well, he should be a babyface. And if you had done it then, I think it might have worked better than it is now from this standpoint. When he came back, people were just excited to see him. So he could still kind of be sneaky and underhanded a little bit, but mm-hmm. he could be a babyface without doing traditional babyface things, which is something that typically I would not endorse. And I don't think you should necessarily do all the time, but in this day and age, we see it happen more often, and maybe he should have done that. And then quickly or slowly, but surely kind of, you know, evolved into the traditional baby face, but instead they had him be a heel, and now he's flipped and he's trying to be that super cool baby face kind of guy.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit forced considering the attitude that he's had in the past. And it's still something that there's something that's missing out on it. And it doesn't feel authentic. And with Jericho, but especially with Kevin Owens, it feels authentic. It feels real.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I just don't know what their long-term plan is. Because my question is this. Okay, I know we're going to get to predictions in a little bit.
Yeah.
But one of two things happens. I would assume one of two things happens on Sunday. Either A, TJ Perkins retains his title. And then who does he fight next? Who was being set up as the next young gun ready for a cruiserweight title challenge? Or B, he loses it to Brian Kendrick, in which case we're just setting ourselves up for literally Brian Kendrick versus TJ Perkins round 5.
Yeah.
And is that all our cruiserweight division is? Is just these two guys back and forth? Now, I can see a scenario down the road where Rich Swann is kind of raised up to be that next contender, but I'm not on board with the storytelling in this division. And I think the cruiserweight division needs some kind of spark, or it's going to be the Cruiserweight Classic, and then this fizzle out, kind of like what happened with ECW.
I still wish Neville was in the Cruiserweight division.
If he was there,
it'd be something a little bit different. I mean, it's better than him losing to Bo Dallas. And it's not that it's Bo, but I mean, he shouldn't be losing to Bo Dallas these days, man. It's not good for, it's not doing anything for Neville. And he's a talented guy. If you don't want to put him in there with all the other heavyweights and stuff, put him in a spot where he can shine, and that's in the cruiserweight division, where he can have great matches.
Can you imagine the pop, though? So that's not completely off the table, right? Can you imagine the pop Neville would get if Kendrick does win on Sunday, and then Monday night he comes out and is gloating, and Neville does debut in the cruiserweight division? That could be a pretty big moment.
Oh, absolutely. I think it would be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of fun. Let's talk about a moment that was not fun for Paul Heyman, and that was him cutting a promo on Raw, which typically that is Paul's moment to shine, as we all know. And so Paul Heyman had the distinct, he had to go out in front of the crowd in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in Brock Lesnar's hometown, and he had to try to make the fans hate his client. And it did not work. People were super excited for Brock, and when Paul even tried to, I can't tell what he was doing at the beginning of the promo. I can't tell if he was, I guess he was trying to lose track of words when he was talking, when he was trying to describe Goldberg, when he was just like this super dad, this wannabe superhero, this guy Goldberg. But he went on to talk, you know, about the match and how, you know, Lesnar's
I mean, I think he was doing the right things at the beginning of that promo.
He was trying.
If you follow what he was doing, he was saying the things like, everybody, don't you chant his name. And that's what you tell to an audience to piss them off and get them to chant Goldberg's name. Or he said Brock Lesnar hates the Goldberg chants. And to encourage the audience to kind of be contrarians and chant the name. So he was doing the right things, but that crowd was just not buying it.
No, I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think people care when you're a super dad. Two, they want to see Brock Lesnar with destruction. And three, Brock is from Minneapolis. I mean, they firmly showed one guy on camera wearing a Lesnar 69 Vikings jersey, which was his number when he almost made the Vikings. Okay. Which is the greatest freaking football jersey ever, I think. But when he was trying, I mean, at one point Heyman was trying to say half of the crowd is, is for Goldberg. It happened for Lesnar. This is an embarrassment to my client who's from Minneapolis. And it was not 50-50. It was far from 50-50.
90-10, maybe?
Yeah, and that even got the crowd stoked to vote to cheer more for Lesnar. And then they were sitting there, and I think Paul was trying to figure out where he was going to go with this. And the music hit for Lesnar, and Lesnar just kind of, you know, had this look on his face. And Heyman was just like, I guess, and just dropped the mic, and they walked out. And it sure looks like Vince McMahon just said, cut the segment. We're done. Screw it. Yep. This is over, man. They're not reacting the way that we want. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens now, because when Goldberg was on TV a week and a half ago, when he came back, that was arguably the greatest promo he's ever done. And he got a monster promo. But they're going to put him on Raw this coming week, which I think could be a mistake. And then on top of that, Brock Lesnar, who's also Canadian now because he lives in Canada, is going to be facing Goldberg in Canada at Survivor Series in Toronto, in the country that loves Bret Hart, who had his career ended by Goldberg.
By Goldberg. Goldberg. Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Yes, it's interesting. I agree with the decision to book this babyface heel, because Goldberg is, like we talked about last week, he's one of those guys from WCW, from that era of wrestling, who has been out for quite a long time. And he's one of the few guys from WCW who can come back and to command that much response this day and age from having been away from the business. So he was going to come back as a babyface because nostalgia reigns supreme, right? No matter how much you like Brock Lesnar, the general audience is going to gravitate towards that. Oh, God, he's back in the ring and wrestling again, right? But yes, there have been speed bumps like this past Monday night, and there will continue to be speed bumps moving forward. I just don't know. Also, where do you go with this feud? I think Goldberg's promo last week was fantastic. I think it was a great setup. I am happy to see him back in the WWE ring, even if it is just one more run. But where do you go with this feud when the audience is the way it is and it's kind of persnickety? And who wins? Because Goldberg conceivably should win this being his potential last match. So does he win? But then Brock Lesnar, who has been on the active roster, who was fighting in UFC earlier this year, takes a loss, and you kill all that momentum you've been building with him for the last 2.5 years. It's like a no-win situation for these guys and for the company, I feel like.
So you're calling it the Kobayashi Maru.
It is the Kobayashi Maru. We're going to see what the booking team does to pull that one out.
Yeah, to me, Lesnar has to win that match, and maybe they get a good enough reaction. They like Goldberg enough, and they can come to a deal where maybe they bring him back for another match. I don't know, but it's an interesting little scenario, especially now if the crowd continues to react the way that they are, that just throws another wrinkle into everything.
Yeah,
I mean people love Lesnar. They love reacting to Lesnar. Paul can typically turn the crowd the way that he wants. It was out of his hands on Monday. And he was frustrated about it. You could see the frustration on his face. He went on to Twitter and flat out said, I hope people kind of forget about that segment.
Yeah.
And that was rough for him. Now, here's another thing that was going on there for another hometown guy, and that was Curtis Axel, who went out there and got huge pops. They had him lose to Bo Dallas, which you never want to wrestle in your hometown if you're in WWE. Because they love guys to lose in their hometown for some reason. And apparently there were some fans, I don't know how many there were, but there were definitely some fans that had pro Curtis Axel signs, and they were taken away. And Curtis more than made a point of this on Twitter, retweeting these tweets of people complaining about how their signs got taken away. And we're like, and Curtis is like, why would this happen? Why are they doing this? So that was weird. I mean, let fans cheer for who they want, as long as it's not a rude sign. Let them take. I mean, we saw there was at least one fan, and we see this every week now when you're watching Raw, and there's a fan that's got a delete, delete, delete sign. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's okay, but you can't have pro Curtis Axel signs. I mean, I don't understand that.
They've been particularly weird in the last couple of years. I would say probably the last 4 to 5 years about this kind of controlling way of handling signs that are somewhat contrarian, and especially with guys that they want to get over, and especially with guys they don't care about. I don't know why it is. I think that you should let fans be fans, even if it doesn't go with what you want, because you can't control them, and trying to creates us talking about it. It creates bad press. So I don't know. Again, I think some of it is just this old school way that Vince McMahon or the WWE think they can control people a little bit more than what they can. And I think it creates this backlash to where fans are more rebellious or more resilient. That's what happened with Zack Ryder. Fans were to the point, and part of it was Zack Ryder getting himself over, but fans were tired of feeling like they could not voice their opinion for somebody they really liked. So, you know, they reacted the way they did, and Zack Ryder got a huge push. I don't understand it. You can try to take the signs. Do it. See what happens. We're talking about Curtis Axel more than we have in months.
Yeah, and I like Curtis. I'm not saying he should be like a top star there. I would love to see him get a little bit more of an opportunity. And I don't know if it's ever going to happen there. And he's one of these guys that I wonder how he would do away from WWE. Sometimes it just comes that point where it's time for a guy to go. And no one needs to necessarily be blamed. It's just time for somebody to go. And it was that way for Cody Rhodes. And I think it's time for Curtis Axel. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if he feels the same way. But I would like to see him get more of an opportunity, whether it was in WWE or someplace else.
Sure. Yep. I think Curtis Axel is a huge talent. He comes from wrestling pedigree, obviously. And he could do something really cool somewhere. I just don't think it's going to be WWE right now.
Yeah. So WWE did their investor call for the quarter today. He announced 1.458 million paid subscribers for the third quarter to the WWE network. That's up from last year. So last year at this time, cool, it was 1.306. So they're up, what is that, 152,000.
Yeah.
Now, it is down from the second quarter of this year. So it's down from 1.52. So it's down about 600,000. It's down less than that. It's slightly down. It didn't hit their projections, though. The projection was 1.49.
We've talked about this for a while. WWE can only grow so much, and I think chasing the numbers like they are to try to make it as huge as possible, as quick as possible, is not – I mean, you want your business to grow online. I get that. But there's going to be a point where you just can't grow anymore. You're not Netflix. You're not creating television that reaches a mass general audience. You're creating professional wrestling content for the most part. So, of course, your projections are going to be high. It's not doom and gloom. Right. But I think they just need to rethink their strategy just a little bit.
Well, they're down 60,000. I had a zero there. So, So I mean, they're just slightly down. But I mean, this happens every year around this time from the standpoint that people, sometimes the second quarter is WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And that's always going to be the big time for them to spike. So, So here was an interesting thing, though. And I think this had been addressed before, but it was again during the conference call with Vince. And somebody asked him, like, well, shouldn't you sell the company and be part of a larger media company? And Vince said, well, we like to control our own destiny, but we're open to everything. He said, we're business people. We're listening. And then he said, we're open for business. We're open for business, which made you believe he's not looking to sell. But if somebody comes along and gives him an offer he can't refuse, we'll definitely talk. Kind of like what happened with UFC, where nobody thought that somebody was going to fork over $4 billion, and that's exactly what happened. So they sold. And if somebody wanted to give Vince a huge deal, he would listen. I don't think that's going to happen, though, because if the television rights, or when the television rights for UFC are available, they'll probably have multiple bidders. We just saw with WWE, when their television rights were up, they had one bidder. And there's not that many people that is as big of a brand and a company that this is. There's not that many, you know, companies that are going to want to say, hey, we want to own it. We want to operate it. We want to be a major business partner. It just isn't happening yet. And they're not, I mean, with UFC, you can make more money if you have the right stars, which they have right now. And we see so many different, you know, advertisers coming to bat for them. You know, there's so many different advertisers spending money with UFC that will not spend it with wrestling. And that's something that wrestling always has trouble with. So there's just a couple of things, I think, going against WWE from that standpoint. But who knows? Never say never. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's going to be some day where Disney, because they deal with ESPN and ABC, they would do it. Or would NBC actually say, you know what, instead of just having you on our network, we're actually going to buy you?
It's a difference in business model. UFC is an event-based business, right? They sell pay-per-views. They sell stars for those pay-per-views. They sell those pay-per-views at high cost. And they make a lot of money doing that way, a live event, things like that. WWE is this touring business where they are on the road 5 days out of the week doing shows, going from town to town. And so it's a difference that investors, I think, look at that very differently. They look at the potential for profits with a company like UFC, who has had tremendous growth in the last 15 years, and compare that to WWE, who, while, you know, they're kind of in a downtime right now, their costs are a little bit higher, and there's a variety of factors that go into it. And of course, like you've mentioned this numerous times, there's a certain stigma about pro wrestling that will just not go away. So I think that's always going to hinder them. That's always going to affect them. WWE is not a mass market appeal. Now, they have stars who have broken out: John Cena, CM Punk, The Rock. They have guys who come out of there who are very recognizable, but this is not some kind of Marvel brand where their heroes are worldwide universal and they can put a movie out about them and make millions of dollars, right? This is pro wrestling at the end of the day. So WWE has tried to branch out a little bit. I think reality shows based around Mick Foley, for example, I think all those shows do is feed back into the pro wrestling audience. So I don't think you're really expanding your audience that much. So maybe they need to think about something like that. I think one consideration I would have is not oversaturating your product. USA wants it, but I think that's an area where they could create a higher demand for Raw, SmackDown, and for the brand as a whole in WWE if they weren't so damn oversaturated. You just need fewer hours of television each week, and I think it will create a bigger demand for what you do.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't think USA says, especially when it comes to Raw, they want that third hour because the ratings for the network are down, and even though the rating for Raw is down, you know, it's still higher than their other programming. So sure, they need that. And for WWE, you're not going to say, well, we don't want that third hour because we're just going to turn down X amount of money, whatever they're paying for that. So, and in fact, now it's all part of the deal that they made. Remember, the previous deal was the one where in the middle of the deal, they said, hey, we'll give you like an extra $17 million or whatever it was if you do an extra hour of Raw each week. So it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, in an ideal world, it would be a shorter show. But that, look at it now. I mean, you got Raw, you got SmackDown. I mean, there's 5 hours there. You're doing two pay-per-views a month. I mean, that's another 6 hours. You know, then any other ancillary programming that you're watching, I mean, it's a lot to ask for from your audience. I mean, I think the WWE Network is a good deal. I really do. For 10 bucks a month, it's a really good deal. But, you know, even if you don't watch it all the time, but to keep up on current storylines and everything, if you're really into wrestling, it's a lot to ask for, even for people that aren't buying the network to watch all the programming every week. It just becomes very, very tough. And there's so many other things for people to do. And then if they want to watch other wrestling that's out there, maybe they want to do that rather than WWE. It's, you know, that the bulk of wrestling fans are watching WWE, but there definitely are, you know, is a, you know, a good percentage, a loyal percentage, shall we say, that will watch other programming. And there's even some that just said, I'm not even going to watch WWE.
I just, we blame USA for some of this, but I think they can control a whole lot of their destiny by limiting the product they put out there every week and not competing with themselves, essentially. I have a hard time. I'm in this. We talk about wrestling all the time. I'm a huge fan, but I don't have time to watch everything, especially not if I want to catch anything that's not WWE. By trying to control the market, they're hurting themselves. And I think they just need to rethink some of that, some of their overextended nature. And I think it would help with the talent some too.
So let's talk about something else that's coming up this week. If you haven't had enough wrestling, there's more for you. So Flow Sports, which is a website that is a streaming service that has a bunch of amateur sports on it.
Wait, I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going. They put in a bid to purchase TNA.
No, well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. They did not. But they have started Flow Slam, which is a section of their site, which is for pro wrestling. So they announced earlier this week a 5-year partnership with WWN Live. So they are going to be the exclusive streaming partner for all of WWN Live shows. That's Evolve, Shine, Full Impact Pro. And they're going to be doing about 60 events a year. So people can get this at flowslam.tv. And what they're doing to charge is it's $20 a month, or you can pay the, and that's just for the wrestling content. Or if you want, you can pay $150 for the year, which comes out to $12.50 a month. And that is a universal pass. That's good for all of the contents across Flow Sports. That's combat, grappling, KO, everything that they've got. And they recently launched apps on Roku and Apple TV. So if you just want wrestling and there's a certain event you want to watch or a couple events you want to watch one month, then you can pop down to $20. Or if you want to do the annual thing, you can. They are not done. They are speaking with a lot of other groups to get more programming, to get more libraries. And this was, you know, this comes off of WWE sending out that survey that we talked about would fans be interested in watching groups like these and the ones they're going after on the WWE network in kind of a different tier package. So it's believed that, you know, they've had conversations with Ring of Honor. We'll see if something happens there. They would love to get PWG. Probably not going to happen. PWG is probably not going to go with anybody. But, you know, they'll talk with other groups, House of Hardcore, CMLL, you name the group that's out there. Tons of other indie groups, I'm sure, like I said last week.
America's Most Liked.
Yeah, why not, man? I think MCW, which was Maryland Pro Wrestling, will probably, you know, do it, or we'll speak with them. So all these other groups are going to come out. So you're getting a little bit more bang for your buck. But still, you're at a price point that's going to be higher than the WWE network. But if you're really into wrestling, you're really into independent wrestling, you're going to have an outlet for it to potentially, you know, it's going to be out there more to where it's going to save you money than having to buy each event individually. And the hope is that it's going to be on a better streaming service than watching iPay-per-view and whatnot. And this is going to work out better for everybody. It could potentially mean that as they buy these rights, that's more money for these independent groups where they can go out and they can spend more money on talent. Now, I heard Jeremy Botter do one interview, and Jeremy works over at Flow Sports, and he's involved with this. And it sounds like, you know, the Flow Sports team will be on site for streaming, but they will not. Maybe this will change, or maybe every now and then they will help out with this, but they will not be doing the production of the shows. So if you don't like the production of some of these events, it's probably not going to change unless that's the money that these groups get, unless they invest it into production. So I don't think necessarily that is going to change, but it's a very interesting dynamic. I don't know if it's a game changer yet, but if people are really into independent wrestling, this is going to help you probably with cost wise. It's just another thing that if you are a super duper wrestling fan, it's more money you probably have to spend and more time that you, have to invest in it as well. But it's an interesting involvement.
I have to imagine that the audience they're going after with this is a niche of a random assortment of people, right? You're not just going after TNA. If they did a streaming service, it would be aimed at TNA fans.
Right.
This is saying, well, maybe you're a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla fan, or maybe you're a Ring of Honor fan, or we don't care which one you are, but all of you come to us. I think the problem with that, it's great in theory, right? We're going to get some wrestlers that maybe haven't had the exposure yet, and some companies that haven't been out there on a national level yet. We're going to get them at the forefront of this. But I think the problem with it is that now this network gets all the exposure, not the companies. And so I don't think it does much to promote up Ring of Honor or PWG or whoever this is as the next big thing, because the audience you're reaching is already out there screaming for them and nobody's listening. And they're all going under this Flow Sports umbrella to where Flow Sports is going to get all the exposure, not these companies, because they're just going to be diluted with all the other companies they're sharing the space with. So I think it's good for the fans who are after these companies. I don't think it does much for wrestling in general. I think it's an interesting strategy now, right? TNA tried to go one-on-one with WWE by saying, we're going to bring our big guns and take you on head-on. That didn't work. So saying, hey, listen, let's pull together all the indies and challenge WWE and the network in a different way. I appreciate that ingenuity. I'm just not convinced it's going to do much for these companies who already are not being exposed.
I want to see exactly how they do this, because they said that they have a different formula, a different model, a different way of doing it when it comes to streaming. Mm-hmm. It's totally different from what WWE uses, which is the MLB TV platform. So I want to see that. I want to see how good the stream is, and I want to see if the production does change at all. And I don't know what their break-even point is. I mean, they've got money. I mean, they had a big investment earlier this year of over $20 million. So, I don't know what the break-even point is, or if they really even have one, where they say we have to get X amount of fans per month. But I got to see exactly where this goes. I think it could help independent wrestlers, but I want to see how many people actually do sign up. There's definitely going to be some. And I think a lot of this is going to depend on what other groups can they get. I mean, obviously, Ring of Honor would be a major coup for them. And they can get a bunch of other groups. The other thing is, too, how much money do people as wrestling fans want to invest? Because a lot of them are going to do, if you're really into wrestling, you're probably doing WWE Network, mm-hmm. I would think. And that's $10 mm-hmm. a month. Are you doing anything else? I mean, hey, even if you're not a wrestling fan and you're already paying for some other streaming services, maybe you've got Amazon, maybe you've got Netflix, maybe you've got Hulu, and now you're being asked to get another one if you're a big enough fan to do it. And I think it's going to test how big of a fan somebody is in some cases, where they say, hey, you know what? I really like this, but I just don't want to spend another monthly cost of getting more programming, and I don't have enough time to watch everything. I still think that there's going to be certain events people are going to watch, but I don't know if it's going to be, you know, how many more people or how many people are going to say, you know what? I want more content. I want this, and I'm going to get it every month.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people.
Yeah. I'm just not convinced either.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Like I said, I think their break-even point is a lot lower. And
sure.
I don't know exactly how they're doing their streaming, but, I mean, it's obviously cheaper than WWE. So I just want to make sure how good the quality is. It sounds like everything that they've done with Flow Sports has been very good quality.
Yeah.
So as long as it keeps up to those standards, great. That's great. So, and we'll see. I mean, I know some people have said, well, this could be a game changer for the independents, because if Flow Sports is putting in money into those groups, you know, they're getting money to be part of the streaming service, that means more money for those groups. They could spend more money on the independent talent. They can make more money. That means maybe they're not going to be as interested in going to WWE, or don't have to jump, or even a reverse. Some guys might say, hey, I don't need to be in WWE to make a living. And I can, and now with the independents, maybe we could be making more money. We'll see. I think it's one of those, it's an interesting idea. It's a concept that a lot of people have been looking into. They're going forward with it, and we'll see exactly how it works, you know, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think a lot of it's going to depend on what groups they get to sign up. It sounds like there's a lot of groups that are interested, and I think it's going to be groups from around the world. So I don't know what WWE's reaction is to this. I've heard a mixed bag about that from different people. So, you know, and some people are wondering, like, well, WWE is an investor in us Flow Sports, which they are, but they're not, they don't have any say in anything, yeah. You know, and I don't think they probably even have that big of a problem with Evolve right now, because obviously there's a partnership there, but I think they're fine with that.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong, right? We're talking about this, and I said I'm not convinced it's huge. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it is huge. I would love to see a smattering of indies take up and take over. But again, this goes back to the problem with WWE. They've occupied so much of the wrestling space right now with NXT, with SmackDown. We haven't even talked about SmackDown. I know we probably won't do much with it. But SmackDown's been a really good show lately. SmackDown getting the head NXT writer has done wonders for that show. So they occupy so much of the talk, the blogosphere, the podcastosphere. How does a new network compete with that as something brand new without creating a bigger storm around the individual brand they're propelling up on this network. I'm not convinced it's going to work, but I hope it does. I want to see something new other than just NXT.
So let's talk about TNA.
Okay.
What a mess.
Let's talk about TNA some more. We actually had the discussion before we went on the air tonight. We said, do we open with TNA again? And we decided not to open with them for a third straight week.
No, we weren't going to break ground there. But we got to talk about TNA. So TNA had their day in court. Billy Corgan and Dixie Carter, they went to court on Wednesday. And to say that this is a mess would be an understatement, okay? This is an absolute mess that we could try to figure out a little bit. So without getting to every little nook and cranny detail, basically, you know, Billy Corgan had gotten a temporary restraining order, which banned TNA from selling stock in the company or selling any other assets. They couldn't sell the tape library. They couldn't do anything. So basically, when Anthem Sports had given them money, Anthem wants to buy it, but because they can't make any transactions, it had to be a loan or an investment. But the belief is that Anthem wants to buy it, and they would end up with, I believe, 85% of the company, and then Aerolux would be 10% owners, and then Dixie would probably be a 5% owner. The way it is right now, Dixie owns 92.5%. Basically, this is the way that I understand it, and it's a freaking mess. So Billy gave them money on three different occasions. And in all the emails that have been passed around back and forth and sent to one another, within those emails, you know, Billy had given his details for each one, like saying, okay, this is what I get out of this one, and this is what I get out of this one, you know, if you don't pay it back. And he basically had it in there that said, I get control of the company if you don't pay it back. And, you know, especially if the company is insolvent. And, you know, TNA doesn't want to do that. There was even an email where Dixie Carter had said, hey, guess what? Yeah, Billy is the president of the company, but it's just a title. He doesn't really have any power. He doesn't have any control. You know, Dixie Carter and TNA accused them of being a predatory lender with strong arm tactics. Basically, they're saying he's a loan shark. I'm like, you're the one that agreed to the loan. You agreed to the loan. But they were in such dire position that they felt like they had to agree to the loan. Part of what is coming out of this is Corgan is saying, I would have never given them the money if I had known the amount of debt they were in. They never told me that. So they were never honest and upfront and didn't share all the details of how broke that they really are. And, you know, what a dire situation this is. I knew that they were in some trouble, but I didn't know it was this bad. And so that's going on. He's trying to say that they're insolvent. And TNA is saying, no, we're not insolvent. And the reason that they're not is because they got money from Aerolux. And Aerolux saying, hey, we will pay him back. We'll pay back. Billy will have all his money. And Billy's like, no. And part of the deal that he has says that he believes he should be able to do is, because he didn't get his money back yet, that as terms of it, he gets Dixie Carter's voting shares, which is 92.5% of the company, and he can replace all of the officers of the company, which he sent an email saying to do, and it wasn't going to happen. So that's why they end up going to court, and this whole thing is a mess. There was a lot of things that came out of this that were just, it just shows how broke, how desperate TNA has been, the dire situation has been. They're not even going to be able to pay talent now, which they're trying to blame Billy on. And Billy's like, no, they weren't going to pay him anyway. They're broke. They don't have any money. This wasn't going to happen. You know, Dixie had told him flat out, we're not selling to WWE. That's not happening. Where they've been in negotiations with WWE. At one point, WWE made a bid for the company, and it was basically what Billy was willing to pay for it, and it didn't happen. So when they went back to WWE, they got a counteroffer from WWE, which was less than their original offer. You know, so, and I guess Billy and his lawyers are trying to say, hey, the amount of debt that they have is much, much, much greater than what this company is worth, which still makes me wonder, why the hell do you want to own this company? And there's even one email from Dean Broadhead, who is the CEO, CFO with the company, where he flat out says, without the loans from Billy Corgan, this company would be out for the count. And there's just a lot of stuff. I mean, it looks like Billy has been lied to, or they have not been upfront with Billy on a lot of different things. And at this point, it sure sounds like he wanted the company before, but you have to wonder, is some of this like, okay, they screwed with the wrong guy, and now I'm going to get him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you what, I mean, they've been over a barrel a few times now, and I feel like TNA's number is finally potentially up. And I think part of it is because Billy Corgan is the kind of guy who is a wrestling fan. I was one of his loudest doubters and thought it was crazy whenever he first entered this whole arrangement with TNA. And I was like, why does he want to do this? But he's proven himself to be a pretty hardcore wrestling fan. And I respect him a little bit for that. So I just think it's like you said, you screwed with the wrong guy this time, TNA. And
here's a document. Get this one. Dean Broadhead on September 1st said, "We owe talent money. We owe employees money. We owe many vendors money." Documentation even showed they were unable to pay their taxes, which led to the current tax lien that they have. Another company called Seismic Sound came out and said, "We're owed money." And I believe this quote comes from Billy Corgan's lawyer, who said in court, simply put, "It defies logic to assert that Impact Ventures can somehow make itself solvent by becoming more and more insolvent." In other words, borrowing more and more money. And it's so there's a lot of questions that go into this, and whether or not Billy has a right to really, with the deal they had, to vote them out or take control of the company. And it also goes into what the courts deem is the definition of being insolvent. So the judge in this case is going to have a ruling on Monday. Now, maybe TNA can strike a deal with Billy. I don't think so at this point, where they can still buy him out, but they've had that opportunity. Billy has turned them down, and it's a mess. I mean, if you thought TNA was in a bad spot before, I mean, this just goes to show how bad things really are and have been for a long, long time. Their debt has apparently increased over 50% since June.
Holy cow. Wow.
I love this part, too. Billy Corgan stated that he had not been appointed president. He would not have agreed to, he would not have agreed to make the last loan because he believed Carter and others in charge had, quote, driven the company into the ground. That was something that he said flat out to Dixie. So, I mean, it's a lot of each side, you know, trying to explain their side of the argument. And I think at one point, even TNA and Dixie's side was trying to say, well, it's not even legal what he's doing against Tennessee law. And so that's going to possibly play a case in this.
Agreed to it. Okay.
Well, there might be one part of it, which I don't understand everything, but they agreed to it. But Billy couldn't even do that by the letter of the law. If one thing is what has been claimed, and I'm not even getting into too much legalese about it, but we'll find out on Monday who owns TNA. And guess what? Welcome. You have TNA. Good for you.
Oh man. That's going to be interesting. That is going to be interesting. Are you going down to the courtroom, Brian? You got to go down to the courtroom.
If
right,
I was
Tennessee?
In Nashville, I would love to have been there. Oh my God. That would have been fantastic. I know I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I apologize. There was a reporter from the Tennessean that was there, and it was live tweeting this. He's done a fantastic job. Nate Rowell, if I'm pronouncing his name right, he's done a great job of covering this for the Tennessean newspaper. And it was interesting on Wednesday afternoon as he's just live tweeting what's going on. And it's just like, oh my God, what the hell is going on with this company, man? Awesome. What a mess. How does it get that bad? I mean, TNA didn't want their dirty laundry out in public, and now it's there. The only thing that they couldn't reveal were the exact numbers.
The way it gets that bad is with unfettered power. Basically, you put everything in the hands of a few people who were committed to just doing their own agenda and not really necessarily committed to doing what's best for everybody. And so they just keep digging their holes deeper. I don't know much about Dixie Carter's background other than that her dad owns Panda Energy or whatever. But it's not a good scenario. And it seems like she was handed the keys to a Lamborghini after having been taught to drive on a Ford Fiesta.
Well, remember, she owned her own business. She had a marketing firm, and that's why she got involved. But, you know, they were doing marketing and stuff, but she became the owner of a wrestling company, and this thing is
totally different.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. A marketing firm is like this creative, like, oh, you know, today we're gonna do some tweets for this person, and we're gonna write up some ads for this other person. But it's not like practical, tangible business as much.
Here's my favorite part. TNA's lawyer denied the financial details were hidden from Billy Corgan, who he was accused of attempting to cause TNA to default on its own loan. He also argued that the contract that Corgan and Carter entered into is not legal under Tennessee law, and he labeled the tax lien against the company as a, quote, accounting mistake, and called it a non-issue. Hell of accounting staff you got over there. Is that why all these other vendors haven't been paid? Let me ask you this seriously, okay? The company survives, no matter who owns it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you ever going to want to do business with this company?
Nope.
If you're Pop TV, do you still want to be in business with this company?
Okay, so it depends on who takes over. I don't want to do business with the same people I was doing business with before.
Either way, it's going to be different because Dixie Carter could keep her position with the company. Well, she could keep a figurehead position, but she would not be in control. Say Aerolux gets it, okay? So the CEO or Anthem Entertainment gets it, and I believe the CEO of Aerolux would be the person in charge, okay? He would be running the day-to-day operations. So that's a different group, but Dixie would still have a title head, you know, position, but she wouldn't really have any power. The other side would be Billy Corgan would have it, and Aerolux and Anthem and all of them, I don't think, would be involved. At one point, Aerolux was going to be involved, but it doesn't look like that's the case now. So either way, it's going to have different ownership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it depends on how much is still involved. I think there is potential for somebody like Pop TV to still want to do business if whoever comes in has fresh ideas and is willing to say, this is our new strategy. We understand things have gone bad in the past, but we're changing this and this and this up. I think there is still potential, but it's got to get out of this mess real fast, real fast.
Well, we're going to find out on Monday who wants to own a wrestling company. Ta-da-da, come on down.
You're the next lawsuit person in the...
You own a wrestling company. All right. Does that make me the winner?
I was going to say, does the winner have to own TNA, or do they have to do they get free of TNA?
Speaking of coming on down, come on down to Orlando for WrestleMania next year. You know, tickets go on sale November 18th.
Huh?
Tickets go on sale for WrestleMania November 18th.
November 18th. Okay. Sign me up.
Get this. On Monday, the travel packages go on sale, though, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Here's what you get for a travel package real quick, okay? Because I know you want one of these.
Yes, I do.
You get a WrestleMania 33 ticket. You'll be sitting ringside in rows 1 through 4, and you get a collectible chair. You get a ticket to the Hall of Fame on the floor. Okay. On the floor, mind you.
On the floor, okay.
You get a
ticket sitting on the floor.
Ringside, rows 1 through 4 for NXT.
Yeah, I love NXT.
You get a ticket ringside through rows 1 through 4 for Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, that's a good show sometimes.
And by the way, in this travel package, they let a cat out of the bag on this.
I like cats. Cats.
Let me double check this. Let me double check this because I'm going to go all the way down. Yes. Okay. Because this is only available. This one is only available with the 5-night hotel accommodation. So you got to make sure you stay for the extra day. This is something that I heard of, but I could not say before. And now I can say it. Not only will Monday Night Raw be at the Amway Center in Orlando, but SmackDown will also be at the Amway Center.
Nice.
I've actually known about that for a few months. I was just like, don't say anything yet. We're hoping to do it. But you'll get a ticket for SmackDown. You get a ticket to Access. You can attend one premium VIP session and one VIP session.
Can I see Goldberg? Yeah.
I don't think so. But you also get a round-trip coach transportation from hotel to WrestleMania. You get a ticket to Universal Studios, which you can go to either Universal Islands of Adventure or Universal Studios Florida. You get,
but can't you just get me in though? Can't that work?
Possibly. We're working on that. I can definitely get you into Disney.
Nice.
Okay. An exclusive reception with WWE stars on Saturday, and you get to go visit the Performance Center with NXT stars. And then get this. Okay, so if you want the Sunshine package, which is
which one is that one?
Well, this is for 4 nights, okay, for that package. Or you can get the Sunshine package for 5 nights, okay? So for if you want the 4 night for all of that right there for one person, it's $6,650.
Oh, that's not bad.
If it's two people, the price goes down to $6,125. 3 people is $6,000. 4 people is $5,900. If you go for 5 nights, the price is a little bit higher. One person, it's now $7,375.
So we're still under 10 grand.
We're still under 10 grand. Now let's go to the VIP package.
Wait. What was the 4 person? Because I could probably find 3 friends to go with me.
Four
How much
people
we
for 5 nights would be $6,375 per person.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go find some people to go with
you. You ready for the VIP package, buddy?
VIP. That's what they call me. VIP. VIP. Mikey. Now no you're money.
Are getting all of that.
Okay.
Plus,
All that.
Okay. All that. Plus, you're going to get hotel.
Ooh, I like hotels.
Is that
nice
what you're getting that one? Now, with the first one, you also get hotel as well. You get hotel as well. I apologize.
Do I get to stay at the wrestler's hotel?
Now, that's a very good question. You probably do, quite honestly. Now, the VIP package, so the Sunshine one, that's expensive stuff. The VIP package, your tickets, like you're ringside, but you're not rows 1 through 4. You're like in 5 through 8. For the Hall of Fame, you're not on the floor. And same with like NXT and Raw and all that. You're in like premium 100 level.
Okay.
Your seats are a little bit farther back. Now, for that one, you can go, if you go for 3 nights, it's $4,300. For 4 nights, it's $4,825. Or for 5 nights, it's just over $5,000.
Okay. VIP.
Now, Platinum. Now, you get to go to Mania. Premium seating, central risers, or the entrance ramp. Still get the chair. And then you're still like in the premium 100 and everything else. That one, for one person for 3 nights, $2,500. Or if you get 4 people to go, it's $1,950 per person.
Okay.
Or you can go to 5 nights, which is about $3,500. So they have a couple of different packages like this. It just keeps going down in price. But every time, like, your tickets are, you know, a little bit farther back or whatnot. Quite honestly, man, the silver package, which is you get a ticket. Let's see. Mania, Hall of Fame, NXT, Raw, SmackDown. You get 2 general admission tickets to access. You get round trip coach transportation from the hotel to Mania. You've got a hotel room. $1,375 per person if you get 4 people. That's actually not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
I mean, you still got to pay for your airfare. But yeah, right. You're talking like $2,000. I mean, after your airfare, that's not bad.
Nope. Everybody come to WrestleMania next year. It's going to be balling.
They're planning on a bunch of stuff. I mean, they're planning on a lot of stuff, man.
Goldberg, Lesnar, round 3.
Should we read into anything that they have that they're giving away a ticket to Universal Studios as part of these packages?
I think it seems like they want people to go over there. And if you're WWE, the only reason you would want somebody to go someplace is if it helps your brand out in some way.
Well, remember,
so maybe there's something happening at Universal Studios.
They do work with NBC Universal. I mean, remember, that's where the television deal is at. Well, remember where everybody thought NBA City was going to go?
Yep.
And that didn't happen. So the place that did go there has opened. The Twosome Chocolate Emporium and Savory Feast Kitchen is now open, where you can get ridiculous chocolate treats and whatnot. It's expensive, but I heard it's pretty good. You can get like these ridiculous milkshakes and, you know, desserts, and they have meals over there as well. But yeah, that place just opened like within the last month.
Huh.
And it's not the WWE Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, is it WWE Hall of Fame? Are we getting one of those next?
It's
year?
In the back. It's like in a corner.
Okay. Physical Hall of Fame coming in 2017.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know where they'd put it out there. But honestly, they don't have any space for it. I wouldn't read anything into it. I just think that is a
perk.
Yeah, I think it's just that's their business partner, you know. So, you know, if you want to go to Disney, you just got to get your own ticket for it. You know, yeah. We'll go to Disney.
We'll go to Disney. You might go to Disney. Yeah. Bring the wife, maybe.
So before we get out of here, let's run down Hell in a Cell and give our predictions.
I like how you said out of here, like we're in a physical space together. Because, you know, I feel really close to you during these podcasts.
I know, right?
It's a special moment.
So let's talk about one other thing real quick when it comes to Hell in a Cell.
Huh?
We know that one of the three cell matches will be Sasha Banks against Charlotte. There is a lot of discussion about where this will be on the show and whether or not it will close the show or not. One, do you want it to close the show? Two, do you think it will close the show?
Yes and no. I would love to see it close the show, and I think it's a more meaningful feud than anything else on Raw right now. It is a longer-term feud. It's got better buy-in from the participants. It's got better buy-in from the audience, I think. And it's the one cell match that I think deserves to be Hell in a Cell. However, I am fairly convinced that Vince McMahon is so old school that the idea of a women's match going last on a pay-per-view is not his cup of tea. Now, this is the time to do it, right? If you ever want to try out the idea that a women's match could go last on a pay-per-view, this is the show to do it because it is not WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, or Royal Rumble, right? But also, if you say no to this, and yet last month you put together that weird, or I guess earlier this month, it's been a long month, you put together that weird pay-per-view that ended with Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton, which was a meaningless feud at that point, and it's still not great. How do you justify that? How do you justify that main event versus this main event? I don't know.
I totally agree with you because the match that has been built up the most, that has the most meaning, the most emotion, the most of anything on the line is the women's match. Sooner or later, I think it's going to happen that a women's match is going to main event a pay-per-view. It makes a lot of sense to do it here. But, you know, this can be like a little bit of a test balloon from a standpoint that it is a pay-per-view. It's not the lowest of your pay-per-views, but it's far from the highest. It's a good pay-per-view. And it's an important match. It's nothing against Owens and Rollins, who will probably have a fantastic match. But there's just been more built up, and there's more on the line, and it feels like a much more important match between Sasha and Charlotte. And to give them that stage, this feels like the right time to do it. But I agree with you. I don't know if it's going to happen. I kind of doubt it. I don't know where they would put it on the card. There's been some speculation that maybe they would open the show with it, which I think would be a monster mistake. If they want to open a show with a Hell in a Cell match, do Roman and Rusev. You know? But I wouldn't put the women to start off the show.
No.
Here's another thing, too, in this whole element. This is in Boston. This is Sasha Banks' hometown.
Yeah.
That means she's going to lose, right?
Yep.
No, I think actually Sasha's going to win this match. But I would like to see it go on last. It would be special for the women. It feels like it's the right time. It's a good time to do it. And I don't know if it's going to happen. It sure sounds like it's not going to as of right now.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe they'll change their mind. They'll pull a last-minute swerve.
It may be. So let's run down the matches real quick, okay?
All right.
So you love the Cruiserweight division, as you said earlier. So on the pre-show, they're going to do a six-man tag. Cedric Alexander, Lindsay Dorado, you know that guy from New Jersey, and Sin Cara are taking on Area Davari, Drew Gulak, and Tony Nese.
I'm going to go with that first team because I recognize more of the names.
All right. There we go. Okay. So Bayley against Dana Brooke.
Wait, aren't you going to give a prediction? Did you agree with me on that?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. I go with Cedric Alexander. Even Tony Nese has looked fantastic on those shows, man.
Dana Brooke.
Vince has got to be loving Tony Nese, considering that physique on that dude. Like, whoa, look at this dude, man. Bayley against Dana Brooke. So you're going Dana?
Dana Brooke.
Whoa. I'll say Bayley.
Okay.
Bayley's got to get the win back.
You would think so.
Especially after Dana Brooke. I'm not trying to say bad things about Dana, who I think is very talented, but she screwed up the finish to their match on Raw recently.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'll switch it.
No, Bayley.
Once you say it, that's it, man. You're on the record.
Okay.
I wrote it down in ink over here, okay? Okay. Enzo and Big Cass against Gallows and Anderson.
Gallows and Anderson.
I agree.
Mm.
New Day against Cesaro and Sheamus for the tag team championship.
New Day.
I say New Day. They still haven't reached the demolition record, so yeah. TJ Perkins against Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Kendrick.
I say Brian Kendrick as well. Damn it, we're agreeing too much.
Okay.
And I think they'll try to do the whole thing like, did he really like let me win or not kind of thing,
yeah,
I guess.
So, I guess.
Roman Reigns against Rusev for the United States Championship. Inside Hell in a Cell.
Roman Reigns has to retain.
I agree. I go with the Roman. Kevin Owens against Seth Rollins, Universal Championship inside the cell.
Owens?
Hmm.
Hmm.
Interesting. Mm. I'm going to say Seth.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I'm going to say Seth.
Okay.
I just want a title change.
Okay.
You
want it. You're going to will it to happen.
I'm going to will it to happen. I'm using my mental powers, I guess, if I have any. And then Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Hell in a Cell.
Mm. Sasha Banks, the boss, baby.
I'm going to agree with you. I will go with Sasha. Oh, one other thing I meant to bring up earlier when it came to Mania Week. Interesting little wrinkle for WrestleMania Week. And it's one that I'm sure the WWE talent will greatly appreciate. So they are flip-flopping the nights for the Hall of Fame and NXT.
Really? Hall of Fame Friday night, NXT Saturday night.
Yes. So that means that the talent does not have to get in their monkey suits the night before WrestleMania. And remember, and they have to, you know, stay at that show and may sometimes be uncomfortable sitting in those seats for, you know, however many hours and whatnot. Nope. They get to do that Friday night and Saturday. They just, if they've got any press commitments, they got to do that. But otherwise, they get to do what they want to do.
I think that's a pretty fantastic decision because it mirrors what they do on SummerSlam. It gives fans four straight nights of wrestling. I think it's a good call.
Here's the interesting thing out of this too, though, okay? So Ring of Honor planned their big event of that weekend, and it's going to be in Lakeland, which is about an hour drive away. They did it on Saturday night, and they did that in particular to put it up against the WWE Hall of Fame. Uh-huh. Now they're going up against TakeOver.
Which they did that a couple of years ago at WrestleMania, didn't they? On Friday night? Was it Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah, they did it. Remember the one year they did it to where people were racing out of Ring of Honor to get over to TakeOver? Like the first time
before the main event. Before the main event, they took like this long break. It was when TakeOver wasn't on the network. It was just the TakeOver event
They extended that show by an hour, but there was people there that watched the main event of Ring of Honor and then got over to TakeOver by missing maybe the first match. But they've also had it, I think last year, I can't remember if they did it at the same time or not. There was some show where they missed some of TakeOver, but now they're going head-to-head unless Ring of Honor changes nights. I think Ring of Honor specifically booked that Saturday night because they wanted to go against the Hall of Fame because there are some people that say, hey, I want to go see wrestling action. I'm not interested in the Hall of Fame. And now WWE has thrown them for a loop.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes. You know what that means?
What's that?
I'm probably not going to Ring of Honor that weekend. It was a super card of honor. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about not going to the Hall of Fame and going to that show, but I mean, I love going to the TakeOver show, so I don't know. Yeah. I got so much stuff going on that weekend. I don't even know half the stuff I'm doing. I know of a couple events I can't even announce yet that I'm going to be involved with, I guess. But yeah, I said too much right there.
I'm not ready to say something and realize I shouldn't.
I've said something already, but I'm going to be working. So now I'll be doing plenty of work. I'll be doing stuff probably for the Orlando Sentinel and for Sporting News as well. So it's going to be a busy time down here, man.
Busy time, dude.
And you know, the Fritzo Dome has one queen size inflatable mattress with your name on it.
Okay. Does it have my wife's name on it too? She's going to want to come.
Yes, actually it does.
Okay.
We can allow that to happen. We can make that happen. That will not be a problem.
We hear mattress, man. I'm all over it.
This is brand new stuff. I mean, I bought this air. This is a nice air mattress we bought earlier this year.
It's the Rolex of air mattresses.
It is. Okay, let's put it this way. The Fishmans have slept on this air mattress, and they liked it.
Wait. You said it was a nice air mattress. Wait, hold on. Now you're backpedaling and telling me Scotty has slept on it.
And his wife.
Well, she's nice, but I'm not going to besmirch her name on this show. But Scotty Fishman?
Yes.
Nope. No, I don't know how nice it is. I might have to get you to, like, I don't know, sanitize it or something.
Scrub, sanitize, and disinfect.
Yes.
It's still good, man. Hey, remember, we put sheets on it, okay? Just remember that. We put sheets on it. Oh,
yeah. Wow, that's a barrier to all the germs in the world, man.
We've washed the sheets very thoroughly. Very, very thoroughly.
Oh, so, yeah, they slept in the same sheets. I don't even get new sheets. I get the same sheets they slept on.
Yeah.
Ward.
Well, I bought these sheets specifically for the air mattress.
You can buy a separate second set of sheets. They're like $10
at Walmart. If you want to bring your own sheets, you can do that, okay?
This is my accommodations for WrestleMania week. Bring your own bed sheets for the air mattress.
Hey, great. I'm staying at an Airbnb in Chicago for a few days, man. And I don't know where those sheets have been, probably.
That's the truth, dude. That is the truth.
It seems like a very nice person I'm staying with, okay? It seems like
you're staying with the person while they're still there?
Yeah, I'm just getting the room. I'm not even getting the whole place. I'm like getting a room.
Nice. Maybe they'll make you breakfast.
Maybe. I mean, you got to do what you got to do for a trip like this, man. It's just like, I've done Airbnb before, and normally, like, we get like an add-on addition to a house, or we get a place by ourselves, you know? And this one, because I'm just going by myself, it's just like, nope, just need a room. Need a room.
So how much does a room in Chicago cost on Airbnb?
Well, considering that I wanted to be near the ballpark, and because the rates were greatly increasing with fans flocking up to Chicago, I actually got a good deal. I mean, I got three nights for $300.
No, that's not bad. Okay.
And that's after, like, if anybody's ever used Airbnb, some of them have, like, a cleaning fee, or, you know, there's another fee that could be on there. So, the room itself is, like, $70 a night, and then after everything else, it was funny because there was one place I had seen that I had looked at one day, and it was like $250, and I went back and looked at it the next day, and it was $700.
Wow, holy shnikes.
I was like, what are you doing, man? There was one that I looked at where it looked like a really nice place and was a good offer, I mean, a good price, and this guy also had like a pool table and whatever else, and then I was like in contact with the guy, and he goes, oh, by the way, Sunday's already gone. And I was like, well, I'm not staying there, man. I'm like, I'm not getting another place than staying at your place for Monday and Tuesday. I'm like, I want a straight shot, same place. So it was one of those where I was kind of looking around, and I was just like, I got to make a decision. I got to get one of these places or else I'm going to be screwed. Because, I mean, I would have been okay being away from the ballpark, but I'm about 2 miles from Wrigley Field, so I can walk to the park.
Nice, awesome.
In case I get into a drunken stupor, which it does not happen with me, basically.
So Sunday night in game five, whenever they're up 7-0, you can walk down there for the final inning. Hear the cheers.
I think I'll be down there for the entire game.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think I'll be watching the game on TV.
You'd just be staying in the hotel room watching the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. And
yeah, I'm going to be missing Hell in a Cell on Sunday night. I will not be watching it live. Maybe I'll watch it the next day. So for anybody that's out there that's mad that once again I am watching a Cubs game rather than WWE programming, bite me.
Yep, bite him. That was an invitation to bite him.
We're going to have somebody else complain like, oh, there it is again, Fritz. You don't even like wrestling anymore.
Sure he doesn't. He just pretends to like wrestling. You should talk to him. He doesn't.
Yeah.
On that note,
we'll wrap it up here. But we appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. Please download us, whether it's on iTunes or on Stitcher. You can get the Between the Ropes podcast. You can rate and review the podcast in either place, which always helps us out. You can also find us on SoundCloud. We're on the Google Play app. We're on the TuneIn app as well. So there's a lot of different places that you can find the podcast. So please listen. Please spread the word. And like I said before, if you do get us on iTunes or on Stitcher, give us a review. Rate the podcast. That helps us out tremendously. Give us a nice little comment. And I hope everybody really enjoys what we bring to the table here. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. Michael and I will be back next week. Sometime in the next week or two, I'm going to be having some more interviews on here. It's just been a dry period. Plus, my mind's kind of like all over the place right now with the Cubs.
It's a bad week.
It's just a weird week right now. So, but we'll have some more interviews. I've already got at least one thing lined up. And looks like a couple more right around the corner. So we'll have some more interviews and everything coming up here. So we appreciate everybody for listening. And we'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.